hug somebody, shake their hand, give them a high five, and you can be seated this morning. God is good all the time. Good deal, man. Welcome. Glad y'all are here today. How about we put our hands together and give the Lord some praise for all that rain we're getting outside? Look at your neighbor right quick and say, hey, neighbor, don't you be cussing that rain. I know how church folk are. Pray for rain for 6 months and it rains too much and y'all are cussing the rain. Come on, somebody. Hey, welcome, man. We're glad you're here today. It's always good to come hang out. We started a series last week on Pentecost Sunday. We'll be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit gives us power? Everybody shout power. Power. And power, that word power, let me just give y'all a little heads up. Like, the New Testament was not written in King James, just so y'all know, originally. You know, because we're like, well, King, some of them old folks, they like King James Bible. If it was good enough for Jesus, by God, it was good enough for me. Listen to me. It was not written in King James. It was written in Greek, y'all. And in the Greek translation of the Word of God, that word power is called dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Dunamis is the Greek word for power, and dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. And so that's what happens when you and I have a humble heart, when you and I swallow our pride, and when you and I realize that we need some power, not from ourselves, not from the earth, not from the money. When we need power from on God, boom, God sends the dynamite Holy Spirit power into our life, and we're able to overcome, and we're able to be more than we've always been. That's the power. I love the power of the Holy Spirit message. It absolutely changed my life. I shared that with y'all last week. I love the power, but I want you to know today, the Holy Spirit is much more than just power. The Holy Spirit is much more than just power. The Holy Spirit is our helper. How many of you would say, I need some help? I need help throughout the week. How many of you have humble enough hearts and have swallowed enough of your pride to say, I need help? I need help to be a father. I need help to be a grandfather. I need help to be a mother. I need help to conduct myself. I need help to control my temper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. How cool is that? John chapter 14, verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Holy Spirit is our helper. Now, I used that word a while ago. That was a Greek word, and I know I'm not an intellectual preacher, and I'm not the smartest preacher, but let this bear with me as I share with you about translation of words from one language to another. How many of you know some words that are spoken in the original language, they translate a little bit different into English? They translate a little bit different. So I want us to understand what that word helper really, really means. I want us to understand that that word is parakletos. In the Greek, that is the word parakletos. What does that mean? So to help you and I better understand, we're going to take some Spanish words. Because how many know we live in Texas and we use a lot of Tex-Mex Spanglish? Come on, somebody. Like, we went to El Salvador one time on a mission trip, and I was speaking my Spanglish down there, and the missionary said, stop, shut up, you're going to get somebody shot, no more Spanish for you, dude. So let's talk about some Spanish words that maybe we can understand. Chapa. Chapa. Chapa in Mexico means a metal sheet, a sheet of metal. But in Argentina, if you use the words chapa, where they speak Spanish as well, it means you are crazy. It means you're crazy. Like, Riley, you chapa, boy. Hey, Ken, you crazy. Like, you lose that. So chapa means sheet of metal. Chapa also means you crazy. In Spain, it means someone that will not quit talking. Stephen. Like you a chapa, dog. Let's use another word. How about this one? Culo. Culo means butt. Colt. Quit being a culo. Come on, somebody. Culo means good luck in Argentina. It doesn't mean butt, but it means good luck in Argentina. In Colombia, it means that you have something nice, like your shirt is mucho culo, tubby, today. I'm just saying. Different words mean different things, and I want us to understand what parakletos really, really means. Parakletos really means this: legal counsel, legal advice. It would be much like you and I, if we have a problem, we have a legal issue, we would go to a lawyer. And we would say to this lawyer, lawyer, I need you to give me legal counsel. I need you to give me legal advice to say the right thing, to say the proper thing that would work this situation out. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. It gives us legal advice. Let me share a story with you. One time we were in an issue at the church here. We were in an issue where this a legal issue came up. And it was a mess and it was a wreck, and I had never dealt with a legal issue before. And I'm telling you, the media was calling on the phone. The media was showing up at the church. They said, Pastor, we want a statement from you. We need to hear what you've got to say. And so I was like, what do I do? Do I talk to the media? Do I not talk to the media? And so I called some of my pastor friends in Abilene. And they said, you absolutely have got to make a statement to the media. I was friends with the chief of police in Abilene at that time. I called the chief of police. I said, what do I do? He said, you've got to make a statement to the media. Man, I didn't know what to do. I was in this issue. And so I've got a friend, if any of you know me, his name is Harper. He's the smartest guy I know of all people. He works for the North Texas District of the Assemblies of God. So I break down and I call Harper and I say, I'm in an issue here. What do I need to do? He said, let me hook you up with a lawyer. He said, we have connections with the greatest lawyer in the state of Texas for churches. Let me hook you up with him. I got on the phone with the lawyer, and I say to the lawyer, hey, dude, here's what's going on. What do I need to do? Everybody's telling me to give a statement to the media. And he said, whatever you do, do not give a statement to the media. He said, I don't care what pastors have told you. I don't care what the police have told you. I am telling you not to. He said, the media is crooked. They will take everything you say. They'll pull a piece out here. They'll pull a piece out there. And they'll make it sound like they want it to sound. And they'll make it sound nothing like you want it to sound. I didn't like that legal advice, y'all. I've never been scared of anything in my life. I've never shied away. I wanted to step up. I wanted to defend. I wanted to make this statement. And so when I hung up the phone with the lawyer, I called my buddy Harper back and I said, this guy's lost his mind. I hate what he just told me to do. And my buddy Harper said this to me. He said, how much money do you make, Cody? I said, what difference does it make how much money I make, Harper? He said, do you make $500 an hour? I said, you know I don't make $500 an hour. And he said, well, that lawyer does make $500 an hour, and it's not because he's dumb, it's because he's smart. Now shut your mouth and do what he told you to do. I didn't like it, but it was legal advice, and I took his advice. Now look at me, look. When I thought of that story, I was convicted. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit, who is my paracletos, who is my legal advice, advises me to do some things in my life that I don't want to do. And you know what I do? And you know what you do? We argue with the Holy Spirit. Not only do we argue, we go, I don't like this. This doesn't make sense to us. And so we go and do what we want to do rather than the legal advice the Holy Spirit has given us. Can I get a witness? And we wonder why we don't see miracles, signs, and wonders. I love that we sing songs. Healing is coming into this room. I love that we sing these songs. Miracles happen when you move. And I have found out this after 22 years of being pastor. Usually the miracles happen, and usually the healing happens when you and I begin to listen to the legal advice that God has given us, and we become obedient children of God. The problem with the American church, God, can I preach to y'all today? The problem with the American church is we don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to listen to the legal advice because we'd rather satisfy our flesh and we'd rather do what we've always done, but yet we want to show up at Sunday and we expect God to move in a miraculous way. God moves in miraculous ways when his people become obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. Y'all should have shouted me down right there. Yeah, boy. The Holy Spirit. Why don't we argue with the Holy Spirit, man? Why? He's so smart. He raised Jesus from the dead. Why? He's had more experience than us. Why do we argue with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has seen the future. He knows the plans that God has for you and I. The Holy Spirit said that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Holy Spirit knows where God wants to take us. The Holy Spirit knows that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. Why do we argue and be disobedient with the Spirit of God? He's smarter than we are. Can I take a moment and say this? I love children coming to church. Come on, somebody. I love it when all these kids come down. And can I tell you, the candy cigarettes and the beef jerky snuff. It's just a trick to get your kids to come to church. Because listen to me, the Holy Spirit can speak to children, and I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to children better than he does us adults sometimes. Because their mind is unadulterated, their mind is open, their mind is willing to receive, and the Holy Spirit speaks to those children. I was 25 years old before I knew anything about the Holy Spirit. I tried to live my whole life on my own strength, on my own wisdom, on my own knowledge. And then at age 25, I heard about the power of the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know it's harder to unlearn something and relearn something? It's harder to do that than it is to learn it when you're a young child. Can I tell you parents something? You want your kids, how many of you know our kids are facing some junk right now in the world nowadays? It's the birds and the bees and the birds and the birds and the bees and the bees and the birds that used to be a bee and nobody knows. Who knows what's going on in our crazy jacked up country anymore? Our children need some help. So if you and I as parents will be obedient to the Holy Spirit and teach our children from the time they're 5 or 6 years old to listen to the Spirit and let the Spirit be their helper, they will have a much easier life. Oh my God, I feel like preaching to y'all today. And some of us are playing some kind of phony, chicken-do, make-believe game, and our children see it. We show up at church on Sunday morning, and we've been running around, shacking up, drinking it up, smoking it up, boozing it up, snorting it up, acting like a fool all week long, and then we bring our kids to church, and we pretend like everything's going on. Can I tell you, the example that us parents and grandparents are setting for our children throughout the week is what will propel them or bring them down in life. Whew, y'all. I better move on, right? I see that look in your eye. The Holy Spirit's our helper, y'all. We have to embrace that. We have to teach our children to listen to the Spirit of God. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit guides us to some places to help other people's lives. Because how many of you know, look at me, look. Life in Christ is not all about you and what you want and how you want it. Because once we become saved, we are bought with a price. We're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we belong to God, and it's God's will that should be prevalent in our life. God wants to use you to touch someone else and to change someone else's eternal destination. Watch this, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 36. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. You need to know there is great revival going on in the city right here. There are huge meetings. There are people they're being healed. There are people that are getting up off cots. Leprosy is drying up. People are getting saved. But the Lord says to Philip, I want you to go out in the desert. How many of you know sometimes the Lord will call us to go places that aren't real comfortable, and he'll call us to go places we don't want to go. Verse 27, so Philip got up and went. He was obedient. And there, when he got there, was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. Watch this, the Ethiopian had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was going back home, and he was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. He'd come to town to worship, and he was going home, and it's like he pulled his pickup over, stopped on the side of the road, opened his Bible, and he started reading out of the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, run up, go up to join him in this chariot. And Philip ran up, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he said, Philip, come jump in the truck with me and try to explain this to me. Verse 32 says, now the passage of scripture which he was reading, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as the lamb before his shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life was removed from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, please tell me, who's Isaiah talking about? Like he's reading Isaiah, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip said, no, he ain't talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came up to a tank. And the eunuch said, look, water. what does prevent me from being baptized? What I want you to see is this Ethiopian eunuch who was not a believer gave his life to Jesus Christ. His eternal destination was changed. He was baptized in water, all because Philip listened to the Spirit of God and was obedient to do something that he probably didn't want to do. I wonder how many people in our lives are missing out on the gospel message and are missing out on the blessings of God because we are unwilling to be obedient to what the Spirit is asking us to do or say to the people in our lives. Do you get it? Like God has already orchestrated this thing. Do you see that Philip leaves the town, goes out to the desert, and when he gets there, this guy's pulled off on the side of the road, and he's already reading the Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because how many of you know, when God is working in one area, he's always working in another area. And when he's working on Philip to be obedient, Philip shows up in the desert, and the guy's already reading the Bible. God has already prepared his heart to share the good news of Jesus. There are people in your life, in my life. Look at me. Don't look down. Don't try to get away from this one. There's people in my life and your life that God's working on. He's moving on their hearts. They're far from God. They're hurting. They're struggling right now. They have no hope. They're trying to find it here. They're trying to find it there. They're looking everywhere. And God's moving on their hearts. And God is also moving on your heart to go and be the voice of the wilderness. God is working on you to go and be bold and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's easier than you think because God's already there working on their hearts. Spirit said, go to the Spirit guides us. We have to listen to the Spirit. It helps us. Let me give you another point where the Holy Spirit is our helper. Acts 13:2 talks about Paul and Barnabas being partners in the gospel. Paul and Barnabas, if you've read the scripture much, they were two partners in ministry. They worked together. And then you go on down and you read in Acts 15, it talks about Paul and Silas being partners. So I want you to look at me. There are some relationships and some partnerships in your life that are ordained by God, and God is calling us together to work together because iron sharpens iron, and one man or one woman sharpens another. There's some relationships. They're bigger than money. They're bigger than business. They're bigger than good looks. They're bigger than all this. They're God-ordained relationships that will advance the kingdom of God. And we need to listen to God, listen to which one of those relationships there are. But listen, if God joined Paul and Barnabas, and then later on God joined Paul and Silas, it means there had to be a separation from Paul and Barnabas. And just like God has relationships in your life that he is calling you to, there are some relationships in life that God is calling you out of. I'm not talking about your wife, so don't even get no ideas there. I'm talking about friendships. There's some friendships that aren't elevating you. They're taking you down and not taking you up. And I realize that's hard and I realize that's a struggle. But those relationships, we have to listen to the Spirit and separate from those relationships. Because some relationships will take us to new heights and some relationships will take us to new lows. Come on, somebody. Let me just say this. If you're in a relationship right now, listen to the Spirit of God. If you're in a relationship and that relationship has become toxic, and that relationship has become very manipulative. And that relationship has become very, very passive aggressive. That relationship is full of tension. You have to walk around and watch what you say and how you say. And you have to step on eggs because you don't want to offend them. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is probably saying to you, separate from that because it's doing no one any good. Those are hard struggles. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance to where we need to go. The Holy Spirit tells us to come together, but it also tells us to separate. Did you know that the Holy Spirit also gives us legal counsel and tells us sometimes we just need to shut up? Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit sometimes tells us, shut your mouth. We live in a world where everybody has to have an opinion. Everybody has to have a say. Everybody wants to get the final word. Everybody has, they feel like they're obligated. They feel like they're entitled to get to share their opinion. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is going, shut up. Acts 16, I'll prove it to you through scripture because some of y'all ain't liking that very good right now. Acts 16, verse 6 through 7. They passed through Phrygia and Galatian regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Messiah, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Two times, the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak. Shut it. Shut it. Have you ever spoken your mind, spoken your peace, and the minute that it came out of your mouth, you went, oh, crap, I shouldn't have said that. I'll guarantee you, deep down inside of you, the Spirit was going, don't say that. Don't, Billy Lamb, don't, no, no, no. Carrie Fortune, shut it. Don't say it. I don't care if you've been on the school board, school teacher, press, shut it. We don't want to hear it. Sometimes the Spirit says, hush. Can I tell you something? What great marriage counseling. Come on, somebody. Sometimes in the marriage, when y'all are going at one another, like Tubby, like they decide that woman y'all ain't never seen, y'all. Like me and her together, we love hard, but by God, we fight hard too. Ask my kids if you don't believe me. Sometimes the Lord just going, shut up. You ain't going to fix it right now. You're in the middle of this anger. You're in the middle of this. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Sometimes I tell her that. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes she tells me that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, stop. Don't say a word. You don't have to prove yourself. Nobody's going to win. Stop. You don't have to share it on social media. Holy Spirit counts. Listen to the Spirit. And sometimes just hush. I'm ready for you today. I'm one more. No, actually two more. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us legal counsel and say this to us. Are y'all ready? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Just chill. Like sometimes the Holy Spirit goes, stop, dude. Chill. I mean, I ain't sure he says it quite like that, but that's what he says. Chill, girl. Stop. Because we're in a world so full of anxiety, we live in a world so full of stress, and we have to have plans, and we have to figure this out, and what does tomorrow bring, and what's going to happen there, and how are we going to pay these bills, and what are we going to do? We're so worried, and sometimes the Lord's just going, stop and chill. Okay, you didn't like that either. I'll share scripture with you. Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. How many of you know life is full of enough burdens? Can I hear a good amen? Sometimes we got to quit adding burdens to our problem. Oh my gosh, what about that building over there? Oh my gosh, what about our government? Oh Lord, who's going to get elected next time? Oh my God, what about the CA? What about this? What about... And can I be real with y'all? Some of you, like we have different addictions in the church. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, and those are easy to define. But some of you, you are so addicted to drama that it is killing you and it is wearing you out. It's become your medicine. You've done it for so long. You've worried so much. You've chewed your fingernails off. Oh my gosh, we worried, we whined, we cried, we complained. What about the future? What about the past? What about me? Do they like me? Do they don't like me? What's going on? And we medicate ourselves with all of that stuff, and we don't know how to just chill and live a life and enjoy everything God has given us. Well, that's a word for some of y'all. Chill. Take a hold of your mind. Say, Cody, I just can't help it. It's so hard. Yeah, I know it's hard. Everything in life is hard. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have self-control, and we can take our thoughts captive, and sometimes we just need to chill. Look at your neighbor right quick. Say, hey, neighbor, you need chill. Sometimes you got to focus on the basics. These few basics. What are the basics? Mark 12:30-31. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing greater than these. Sometimes you just need to stop, love God, and love your people. Write that in your book. Tweet that on the deal. Put it on Instagram. That is a word for you sometimes. Stop, love God, and love your people. That's it. Nothing else. Last thing today. The Holy Spirit also gives us legal counsel against sin. You have a tendency to sin. I have a tendency to sin. We have so ignored sin in the American church that we come to church and we continue to have habitual sin in our life week after week after week. We continue to sleep with our girlfriend or our boyfriend. We continue to watch porno. We continue to do all this. And I'm not saying that you're any less than, and I'm not looking down on you, but I'm saying this: sin is sin, and the wages of sin are death. It's the word of God. We've become numb to what sin says because we've quit listening to the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we are sinning, I'll guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is convicting us to quit doing that sin. We don't listen sometimes. John 16:8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. How many of you know when we start to do something, we get that feeling inside like, I shouldn't be doing this? That's the Holy Spirit trying to give you legal counsel and say, I'm helping you. Don't go there. Don't do that. Listen to the voice of God. Can I tell you something about conviction? God brings conviction. The enemy brings condemnation. The enemy will condemn you and say you suck and can say you're no good because of your sin. But the Spirit of God says you're better than this and you can overcome that sin. Embrace conviction because it's legal advice trying to help us. Here's the problem with sin and the Holy Spirit. We ignore what the Spirit is saying to us about our sin because we want to keep doing what we're doing. So we ignore it. And the more that we ignore the voice of God, the softer the voice of God comes in our life and the less meaning that it has. It's time for us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Last story. We have this stupid dog at my house. His name is Geronimo. He is the worthless, most worthless turd hound I've ever owned. If it wasn't for my wife and my little girl, I would shoot him dead today. When I run, he goes with me and he runs. I've trained him when I run to stay behind me because dogs don't get in the front because you'll run over them. And so every time I go run, Geronimo stays behind me. But Jennifer and I, we walk in the morning and we walk in the evening. And so Geronimo knows that he can get by with more if Jennifer's around. So as we're walking along right here, what Geronimo will do is he'll get around by Jennifer and he'll run about 50 yards up the road up there, run in front of us. And I can holler, Geronimo! He'll stop dead in his tracks and come right back and get right behind me. Walk about 10 more minutes. Next thing you know, he goes over by Jennifer, 50 yards ahead. He's running up there. And I'm like, Geronimo! He'll come back. And every time he comes back, Jennifer goes, oh, he's such a good dog. He's so obedient. But listen to me. I was convicted the other morning because you know what you and I do? You and I are just like Geronimo. We're following behind the Father, and we know what we're supposed to do, and we know what's right, and we know what's wrong. But something inside of us, this fleshly desire, this pride thing, this arrogant thing, and we'll just duck off on our own and try to run out ahead of the Lord. And the Lord hollers back at us. The Holy Spirit gives us legal advice. Come back, and we come running back, and we go, oh, I'm so good. Look, I came back, and I'm doing good. But here's the thing. At what point do you and I quit acting like children and like dogs? At what point do we understand that God has brought us from a mighty long way? And every day of my life, I don't need him calling me back. I have learned to be obedient to my master. I am not going to play my games and satisfy my desires. I'm going to go behind God, walking and living out the will of God in my life. That's what it's called to being obedient and listening to the Spirit of God. Conrad, worship team. Please, get me out of this bind. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit offers you legal counsel. The question is, are you listening to the Spirit of God? He offers us legal counsel. Listen and obey. I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Most times the miracle happens. Most times the healing happens when we hear the Spirit of God and we're obedient. That's when it's going to come. So my question to you today in closing is this. Where's God asking you to go? Who's God asking you to speak to? What is God saying to you about your current relationships? Do you need to join up, mend some relationships, quit playing some stupid, petty, hurt my feelings kind of ideal? Do you need to bring some partnerships back together? One of them that are toxic, do you need to get rid of? Some of you, the Lord's saying, zip it. Shut it. You've said enough. Some of you just need to chill. Chill. Calm your mind. Calm. Chill. some of us, the Spirit of God is saying to us today, stop that sin. You know exactly what it is. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. Here's what we're going to do today. Closing moments. I hope you got a little communion deal when you came in. If you didn't, raise your hand and Bailey and Colt will bring you one around here. We're going to close this service today with communion and a worship song. Communion represents our salvation. I want everybody to look at me for 1 second. Look. How many of you are saved in here today? Say a good amen. If you are saved, I want you to hear this. If you are saved, you have the ability to hear the Spirit of God. Because the Scripture says in John, no man comes to the Father unless he is drawn by the Holy Spirit. That means while you were in the pig pen and you were in the far country, you heard the Spirit of God call you and draw you to God. And you received salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. But here's what I want you to know. We're going to celebrate this today because we're born again. But Jesus did not do this right here so we could be mediocre, so that we could be full of anxiety, so that we could be disobedient, so that we could be full of stress, and so that we could have toxic relationships. Jesus did this so we could live holistically healthy lives, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So we're going to celebrate this today and bring to remembrance what God did and spark something in us. So go ahead if you want to and open that top piece. Get your cracker out. And then go ahead, once you get the cracker out, go ahead and open that bottom piece of foil to the juice. The Scripture says, the same night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What does the broken body mean? It means this: he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. There's miracles in the broken body of Christ, and we must be obedient. Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and he said, take, eat. Father, I pray today as we take and we celebrate this communion, the broken body, that it becomes new and that it reminds us of everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, you may partake. After that eating, he took the cup. He said, this is a new testament in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Never forget, you are forgiven of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. It cost you, it's free, but it was costly. It didn't cost you, but it cost Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Father, we pray your blessing on the cup and on the blood today. Let it remind us, let it cleanse us, let it inspire us in Jesus' name. You may partake. Father, I pray as we close today, you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, be present. Open our ears. Tune our ears to the Holy Spirit frequency, and Holy Spirit, speak to us today in the area that we need it the most. Even if it's uncomfortable, Holy Spirit, speak to us and move in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.